$1,000. Now, text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Live from New York City, Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Here we go on a Wednesday. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Busy news day. Promises to be a gorgeous day in the big city. Get out and enjoy.
Absolutely.
It's going to be. How you doing, Michael Riedel? Good?
I'm all right. I'm digesting all of the news from last night. I was just trying to figure out everything going on with Eric Schneiderman, and now we've got Governor Cuomo versus Cy Vance over who's going to be investigating.
Gee, you think there's some Eric politics Schneiderman. Involved? Yeah. You think there's any politics going on here?
A little bit here and there.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, the Governor Cuomo, he just can't help himself. He loves to pick fights. He's going at it with de Blasio. Now it's Cy Vance that he's going to be going.
Sure, why not?
Going mano a mano with.
So he's appointed a special prosecutor to look into the Schneiderman thing, but Cy Vance is ticked off.
Because it wasn't him.
Cuomo claims there was conflict of interest. He claims that he had asked Schneiderman, why Vance didn't go after Harvey Weinstein. So,
well, Schneiderman was
investigating Vance. Exactly. He doesn't want Vance investigating Schneiderman. He says there's an appearance of conflict of interest.
I think that's fair. Actually. That is fair. Schneiderman was gunning for Cy Vance. So how can you expect Vance to be disinterested when he's investigating Schneiderman?
Whatever. But I just want to know: did you give any money to Michael Cohen? How about you, Joe Barlow?
Do I look Russian to you?
Did you give any money? Well, it wasn't only Russians.
Not me.
There were a couple of American. Firms that supposedly gave Michael Cohen. Why is everyone giving Michael Cohen money? He's just a good guy, huh?
Well, you know, a new administration comes in. You give money to people who have contacts to that administration. This is politics as usual. So you can figure out, as AT&T, which did give money to Michael Cohen, said, you got to get a sense of the new administration. Who better than Michael Cohen, who's worked with Trump for a long time?
That's the way Hillary Clinton got money.
Exactly. Oh, this happens all the time.
I was waiting for that. Oh, my God. Did somebody say Clinton Foundation?
Well... Welcome to politics, Len. You don't think that people who are close to the newly elected president get money from companies that are going to have to do business with the new administration? They want to know the thinking of the new president. This is how it happens in politics.
And it's a total coinkydink that AT&T is trying to acquire Time Warner. That has nothing whatsoever to do with it. Now, I want you guys to explain.
Do you think Michael Cohen would have the power to stop AT&T from acquiring Time Warner because they gave him $500,000? Do you think that is going to sway the government's decision? Are you kidding me?
Two things. We don't know that AT&T gave him $500,000. They didn't give the amount, but AT&T did admit to giving him money. Number two, it's not giving Michael Cohen. Who's kidding whom? This is like trying to influence the president. This is like giving the consigliere some money. So that,
wait a minute, you're making a big leap here. You think Michael Cohen is funneling money into Trump's pocket from these companies?
I didn't say that. Yeah, well, that's what Mueller's investigating. But no, I didn't. By the way, you guys said, they broke into Michael Cohen's office because of Stormy Daniels. I told you from day one, no, that was bogus. And I want you guys to explain what possible reason could a Russian oligarch have to give Michael Cohen $500,000? Go ahead.
Why don't you explain how Michael Avenatti got that information?
Yeah, exactly. Who, by the way, he has not made those documents available to anyone. He was all over with Anderson Cooper talking about it yesterday. By the way, I here's something you'll never see. I looked in the Wall Street Journal. They called Avenatti for a comment, and they said, Mr. Avenatti declined to comment.
Really?
You're never going to see that anywhere.
First?
But the Wall Street Journal.
That's like Chuck Schumer.
Exactly.
This was Avenatti on CNN.
We're alleging that there's about $4.4 million in suspicious transactions that flowed through this Essential Consultants LLC bank account at First Republic Bank that Michael Cohen first established in October of 2016, and that these $4.4 million worth of transactions occurred from October of 16 up through approximately January of this year.
And they just happened to go into the same bank account that paid off Stormy Daniels. But just to explain to me, if indeed, now obviously we don't know for sure that this Russian oligarch gave him $500,000.
We do not know.
But if he did, you guys, let me know why. Why would a Russian oligarch do that?
Oh, they got a lot of money. They just You throw it around.
It's meaningless money to them.
It's pocket change.
This Russian oligarch, I do have to concede, Len, Mueller has spoken to him.
Yes.
He has interviewed him.
He passed through New York and he got him.
Got him off his private plane and talked to him. So
anyway, our big three, I mean, there's so much to discuss and only 4 hours to do it. U.S. pulls out of the Iran deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we knew that was coming with Trump. Now, question is, what does he do next?
That exactly. That's the whole question.
I feel that was a flawed deal. By the way, this was never a treaty. Obama never sent it to the Senate because he knew the Senate couldn't ratify it.
That's correct.
It was an agreement that he made. It's Obama's agreement. It's not the American people's agreement. It is Obama's agreement. Now, Trump has
Wait, there are several other nations involved. This was not Obama and the Iranians one-on-one.
What about all those other countries? What do we care if Germany and France wants to have a treaty with Iran? Right. The American people had no say in this treaty because it did not go up before the Senate as it should have done to be ratified.
So you are.
It was Obama's. It was Obama's deal with Iran.
So you are in favor of American isolation.
I'm not in favor of making bad treaties. I'm in favor of renegotiating this treaty. This would have allowed Iran to restart its nuclear program in 8 years, and we gave them gazillions of dollars by lifting sanctions, which they have used to move into Syria and make mischief in the Middle East. And that should be a concern to all Americans.
Well, I have a question for the room. Is this about this specific deal, or is this just another example of Donald Trump wanting to do away with anything that had Obama's signature on it? So you got the Iran deal, you have the Paris Climate Accord, you have the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you have DACA. It's on and on. Is this all about really doing what's best, making us isolationism, or is this really just about getting rid of Obama's stuff?
There's no vendetta against Obama here. These are things that Trump campaigned on.
Yeah, he promised it.
Well, yeah, but in campaigns...
He has political, philosophical disagreements with the Obama administration.
Something you campaigned on, don't go there, because during campaigns you yell all kinds of stuff and get everybody excited, and you rip Obama and you rip the Democrats. Doesn't mean you have to make good on all those promises. However, the question really has to be asked, is no deal better than some deal? And I'm willing to listen on all sides. I don't know. And listen, Trump is separating out the whole terrorism aspect. This whole agreement was about nukes. Now, if you want to say, A, they're a bad country and they're bad actors, absolutely. Do they sponsor terrorism? Absolutely. Do they want to wipe out Israel? Absolutely.
Good, we should have a treaty with them.
No, but if this treaty puts the kibosh on their program, and I know there's healthy discussion on both sides whether it does that, but even the U.S. was admitting that Iran was keeping their end of the bargain. So I have some open questions. I'm not coming down hard on either side. I understand the issues on both sides. I don't think it's an open and shut case.
But Iran still has a treaty with a number of other countries.
Yeah, they do.
So, we're just not part of it.
Yeah, well, does that concern anybody? And I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. That we're just, I know Trump likes America first. Is everyone happy and on board the fact that we pull out of everything? We pull out of the Paris. There are 200 countries in the world in climate change, and we're the only ones out. Does any of that concern anybody?
This is what Trump campaigned on. He thought if you enter into these treaties on climate change, the Chinese are going to cheat, as they always do. So why should we live up to our end of the bargain when much of the rest of the world is going to put their signatories on the paper and then ignore it?
I hope going forward in American history that every future president, Republican or Democrat, doesn't go through life just making sure they honor every single thing they say during a campaign.
In the future.
These people say lots of stuff and make lots of promises during campaigns.
In the future, presidents should not bypass Congress with executive decisions and their own agreements if they want them to stand.
Okay. I'm not convinced that no deal is better than some kind of deal. But we have 4 hours. Also, I know I'm outnumbered. And you know what? Hey, did you see the Iranian parliament today?
Yeah.
They burned an American flag, yelling death to America.
I haven't seen that in a while.
I mean, obviously, there's a bad guy. So listen, there's a lot of issues here. Also in the big three, who isn't paying Michael Cohen? Reportedly $500,000 from a Russian oligarch. It's alleged that some U.S. companies paid him, including AT&T. AT&T said they were trying to gain insight into the new administration.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, by the way, AT&T is trying to acquire Time Warner, which needs a sign-off of the Trump administration.
They need some insight into where Trump might stand on that deal.
I'd go to Michael Cohen.
You're surprised about this? This is how politics works, Len.
Well, he's not citing checks to Stormy Daniels out of that bank account. He's collecting interest on AT&T and the Russian oligarch. It's all cool.
Funds are commingled, you know.
Yeah, and rounding out the big three, Governor Cuomo appointing a special prosecutor who happens to be Nassau County DA Madeline Singus. She will investigate Eric Schneiderman, but New York District Attorney Cyrus Vance is not happy. Meanwhile, I think this is a better headline. NYPD wants to talk with the accusers of Schneiderman.
Yes,
I mean, that's big time.
Well, Schneiderman, clearly a violent person. He harmed these women. He hit these women. They had ringing in their ears. They went to doctors. They had welts on their face.
And as expected, more
this
women.
This is called illegal.
More women are coming out.
I
didn't think there'd be just four. I mean,
and also more details about his heavy drinking, apparently. There's a piece in the Post today about a woman who had a date with him. Picked her up, and they consumed several bottles of wine at dinner, then he ordered scotch, and then he got aggressive and unpleasant with her in the car ride home.
Also this morning, we have your Mets tickets at 7:30. We have the turning point of the Mets game at 8:30. Matt Harvey's been traded.
He has for
we
a catcher.
We shall discuss that. Yankee fans are ebullient. Giancarlo Stanton hit a couple of homers, and the Yankees and Red Sox are now tied for first. So there's a lot going on. They introduced a new Knicks coach yesterday. My condolences to him. And what a disastrous franchise that one is. So, well, we got any number of things to discuss. As always, the phones are open, 800-321-0710. You ever want to yak to us, give us a call. So just getting started on a Wednesday morning, May the 9th, 2018. When we return, the New Jersey governor and guns. Where are those weapons coming from? They're not coming from New Jersey, I'll tell you that. Plus, your next chance, well, you want to win $1,000? Check out 705 after the news here on 710 WOR. But right now, let's take our first look at traffic this morning. Here's Bernie Viper.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, at 625. Boy, it's like the OK Corral there in New Jersey.
This is wild. I was surprised when I saw these numbers. I really was.
268 guns believed to have been used in crimes were seized or found across New Jersey just in the last month alone.
Wow.
Although the guns are not coming from New Jersey, they're coming mainly from Pennsylvania. And I was looking to see if there are a few gun manufacturers in Pennsylvania, but what's going on in Pennsylvania where all these guns would be coming from?
Is there
gang violence in some of the cities in Pennsylvania?
They're saying, maybe Joe Bartlett would know more than I, that the gun laws are more lax in the states where the guns come from, including Pennsylvania.
Georgia, yeah.
Georgia, you know, in Virginia, we know, in North Carolina. But, I mean, are the gun laws supposedly more lax in Pennsylvania, Joe?
I think it's easier to get a gun in Pennsylvania than it is in New Jersey, and it's a quick drive from Pennsylvania to New Jersey.
Go right over the state, grab a gun.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get searched coming across the Delaware Bridge there.
Yeah.
Guess which city had the most guns recovered? No surprise here.
I didn't look at this. I'll say Newark.
Followed by Camden, Trenton, and Patterson. So Governor Murphy is cracking down on the guns, rounding up the guns. He had a few things to say yesterday about this.
He did.
Our goal is to shine a bright light on the epidemic of gun violence in New Jersey. So far in New Jersey in 2018, every county has experienced multiple gun crimes. This is not just an urban problem, which it is. It's also an entire state problem.
So, let's see. Well, here's where he talked about the guns and where they come from.
The iron pipeline is alive and well, with 230 guns flowing into New Jersey from the states along the I-95 corridor.
Yeah, but as we said, 77% from Pennsylvania. And, of course, the other is the I-95 corridor. He's talking about North Carolina and Georgia and Virginia. Actually, Georgia was number two, followed by North Carolina, then Virginia.
I thought Pennsylvania was the home of Hershey's chocolate. I didn't know it was Smith and Wessonland over there.
I didn't know it was a gun kind of I don't know what the Pennsylvania statistics are when it comes to guns. See, I upset people who own guns or whatever when I say I just think there are too many guns, and everyone says, well, what are you going to do? You're going to take everyone's guns away? And my answer is always no, just make it a little tougher to get them, that's all. And now you see the guns come from other places if you have tougher gun laws. So if you had tougher gun laws everywhere, then I don't know, what would they ship them in from overseas? I don't know what they do.
Well, that is the larger issue. You can crack down on guns in one state, but if the neighboring state has lax gun laws, those guns are going to come across the border. What are you going to do, put people on the border to inspect looking for guns?
Yeah. Now, here's what Murphy's...
The only thing you can do, ultimately, is repeal the Second Amendment, Len.
No. Stop. He's like, you know, the president put out a tweet on Friday, which made my hair Burn. He says all the Democrats want is to take away, you know, he was speaking to NRA.
Yes, of course.
And he said all the Democrats want to do is take away your Second Amendment, and they want the violent criminals roaming the streets. Come on. You know what? I'm sorry, Mr. President. Democrats do not want to repeal the Second Amendment, and they don't want violent criminals roaming the streets. But that's, hey, it revs up the NRA and it revs up the base.
First of all, some Democrats do want to repeal the Second Amendment. Remember, Justice John Paul Stevens wrote that editorial in the New York Times saying, look, let's go right at this issue. We should repeal the Second Amendment. You may not be in favor of repealing the Second Amendment, but I guarantee you a lot of Democrats are.
You know, I'd love to see a national poll on that, Michael. I don't think you
give us a call here. We'll take an informal poll on the Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning Show. 1-800-321-0710. Do Democrats ultimately want to repeal the Second Amendment?
Well, I'd like to hear from Democrats. Because you know,
really?
You're
going to get... What kind of response do you think you're going to get, Michael?
Michael.
What kind of poll? This is not a scientific poll.
I said an unscientific.
Okay. Oh,
Len
sorry.
Berman, Michael Riedel in the Morning poll. That's what I said.
Has Frank from Flushing called yet? All right. Good luck
trying to get this balanced, but we'll give it a try.
here's what Murphy said about gun laws.
We will continue to enact common sense legislation to make it harder for those with ill intent to get access to a gun. We know this will make all of our communities safer.
All right. Oh,
well. Hey, they had 93 people were shot during the last month, so they have a real problem there in New Jersey. And I don't think it's just about the guns. It's about a crime problem that Governor Murphy better attack.
By the way, I like the way you, throw kerosene on a fire. You know, we have about 1 minute to go before the news starts. Let's take all the phone calls we could possibly take in 30 seconds.
We'll get to you in the next segment.
Well, the next segment we do is baseball.
Whoops,
the Mets.
Okay.
Good going, Michael.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. Tom, go ahead, Tom. Give it a shot. You got about 30 seconds, Tom.
Nail it, Tom.
You may be the only one getting on from Glen Cove. Good morning.
I'm a Democrat in Glen Cove, and I know a lot of Democrats, who support the Second Amendment. A lot of them go shooting. A lot of them are members of different gun clubs. A lot of them go hunting. And a lot of them are registered Democrats.
I agree. Tom, I agree with you. And let's get Brian on. Yeah, this is Glen Cove Central. Let's get Brian on. Just quickly, Brian, we got to go to news. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, Glenn, real quick, about these other states, these lax gun laws. You ever ask yourself, how come they don't have the problem there? They have in the places where the guns are going to?
Well, I don't know that they don't have the problems there. I don't have the stats in front of me, Brian, but that's a fair question to ask, and we should look into
it. They got problems in Pennsylvania, trust me.
Yeah. So,
all
thanks,
right.
Brian. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Brian. Thank you. All right, and now let's check in on the 6:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael. Governor Cuomo says the abuse allegations against former Attorney General Eric Schneiderman are deeply disturbing.
If it's the President of the United States, if it's the Attorney General of New York, nobody is above the law.
So Cuomo's appointed Nassau County D.A. Madeline Singus as a special prosecutor to investigate. He says the Manhattan D.A. Cy Vance has a conflict of interest because Schneiderman was investigating him over his handling of the Harvey Weinstein case. Vance blasting move, saying Cuomo has created another conflict of interest. Hardliners in Iran thrilled about President Trump's decision to pull the U.S. out of the nuclear deal and reimpose sanctions. Iran's Revolutionary Guard and other hardliners have always opposed the agreement that severely limited their nuclear program in return for lifting sanctions. The president says that Iran was allowed to continue enriching uranium, and this was just not a good deal. Former President Obama issued a statement warning the decision means the U.S. could eventually be left with a losing choice between a nuclear-armed Iran or another war in the Middle East. Getting stopped by police in New York City? We'll get you a business card. The New York Post says officers have begun handing out cards as part of a pilot program. It's a response to complaints about stop and frisk. The cards include the name, ranks, and shield numbers of the officer. Also information on how you can get the body cam footage if that exists.
Well, that's interesting.
Well,
yeah, I think it's kind of silly to hand out a card and all, but policing. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to stop you, sir. Here's my card.
What are they, Avon ladies?
But
the problem is it just makes it too easy to file complaints. The PBA is concerned that they're just going to get flooded with complaints, you know, whether
so
or not.
So go look at the body cam. That'll prove that we're right and you're wrong, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, how many times do you think that's going to go on? You're going to need a whole department to handle all those requests. In Brooklyn, police searching for a man who tried to abduct a 3-year-old boy. This is scary. Child was in a stroller being pushed by his grandmother on 86th Street. The woman turned her back for a moment. This guy came along, took the stroller, and started walking away with the kid.
Wow.
Fortunately, grandma gave chase and the guy abandoned the stroller. The kid in the stroller is okay. This guy's still on the loose.
Gonzo Grandma, good for her.
Good for her. Our news brought to you by Paul Miller BMW in Wayne, New Jersey. Shop online at paulmillerbmw.com. And how about this? Talking about dates with Eric Schneiderman, there's a guy in California who is doing some nastiness to women. He takes them on a date. And then he dines and dashes, leaving them with the bill.
Oh, what a cad! What a cad!
40, well, they know who he is, 45-year-old Paul Gonzalez. He's arranged dates with a number of women in Pasadena at expensive restaurants. This is what Len does. Just before the bill comes, he gets a phone call.
Oh, that's like Two and a Half Men when the brother tries to go into the bathroom and stick Charlie with the bill.
So yeah. He gets a phone call, then he steps outside. I'll be right back. Never coming back.
Dine and dash. He's like, no.
I got to try that. It's not a bad idea.
By the way, last caller said, well, what about crimes in these states where the guns are coming from? Well, I just looked up. Pennsylvania's rate of gun homicides among the highest in the nation. Pennsylvania law enforcement officers killed with guns, exceptionally high rates. So, the guns are coming from Pennsylvania. They're having some violence problems in Pennsylvania, too. Don't think they're importing the violence somewhere else. That's all.
All right. Okay. Matt Harvey's gone, but the Mets have got a new catcher. That's going to be in our Mets segment, which is coming up. Plus your next chance at $1,000. If you get stiffed by this guy, you may need $1,000 to pay the dinner bill. That's coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. Now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Beiler.
And coming up on 6:41, another beautiful day in a big city. I never get tired of saying that.
Spring is here. Finally.
I love New York. I mean, my dad used to say to me all the time, my late dad, New York is the greatest city in the world. And you know what? I always felt that way.
You know what I like to do when the show is over with? I stroll up the West Side Highway in this beautiful weather in the morning to my apartment, and it relaxes me, and it makes me feel lucky and happy to be in the greatest city the world.
Geraldine Ferraro, ran for vice president.
I liked her. That was a Democrat I did like.
A nice lady.
Even though her husband was a mobster.
You don't know for sure.
Whoa, come on.
Anyway, I remember her saying that, I was talking to her once, and she said that she loved when she traveled back to New York from overseas, she would bend down and kiss the ground. She was so happy to be back in New York. I mean, I know it sounds provincial, but it was the greatest city on earth.
To me, the most exciting thing is when you've gone away for a while, and you come back on the plane, you land in JFK, and you come into New York over a bridge at night as the sun is setting in the spring or the summer, and you see the skyline twinkle.
No better
sight. And the orange sky in the background as the sun is going down. That makes me fall in love with New York. It reminds me of all the movies that made me fall in love with New York. Tootsie and Arthur, all those movies that were shot in New York when I was a kid, made me want to come to New York.
Yeah.
And I always think of that song, When You Get Caught Between the Moon and New York City.
How about this song?
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Okay, the Mets lost. What do you want to talk about?
You know it's crazy, but it's true.
Yeah, no, that's not. It is crazy, but the Mets lost 7-2. They brought in Jason Vargas for the rotation. He's now pitched three times, and hasn't gone exactly the way he planned. This was the first inning.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swinging a liner over short. That's a base hit going into left field. Peraza scores around third. Schebler, he's coming home. He'll score. Cespedes throws in towards third. Stopping at second is Votto. And on at first with a two-run single is Eugenio Suarez. And the problems continue for Jason Vargas. The Reds have a 2-0 lead.
Those are problems. Interesting thing is before the game, the Mets actually, when they designated Matt Harvey for assignment, that means you either get traded, sent to the minors, or cut.
Yep.
So enough teams wanted them, so they were able to make a deal. So they picked up a catcher in return for Matt Harvey, and, just a change of locker rooms, but Harvey was not in Cincinnati. He's not going to join the team until the Reds get to Los Angeles.
How was this catcher that the Mets have picked up?
Well, Mets picked up a catcher who I think the most interesting thing about him is he's from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. No, that's where he really is. That's where he's from. Okay. I didn't know anyone was from Punxsutawney.
Will he see his shadow on City Field? Field?
Six more weeks of bad baseball.
No,
I understand.
No. If he doesn't see his shadow, the Mets are going to turn it around.
Devin Mesoraco. He's had some injuries. He was an all-star catcher at one point. The Mets do need help in the catching department. Now, they'll try again today. Coverage of the afternoon game actually begins at 11:30 this morning right here on 710 WR. Zach Wheeler's on the mound. He'll try to turn things around for the Mets. Now, Mickey Callaway, the manager, was asked about the struggles of Jason Vargas.
You know, I mean, think the same stuff that we've been talking about. There's the command's not there. He's making too many mistakes. You know, I know he was, you know, hard on himself after the game, saying that's unacceptable. You know, he'll get there. He's definitely not there yet.
Well, he's not there yet, but Mickey's confident. I like, you know, Mickey does bring it. He'll get, you know, Mickey is obviously was the pitching coach in Cleveland, so right. He knows a little bit about pitching.
Well, I mean, part of his job is to keep morale up and stay optimistic about things.
Now, every Tuesday night on the on our Sports Zone, we have Jerry Blevins, the Mets relief pitcher, and he comes on with Pete McCarthy every Tuesday. And last night, you know, last week we had the issue of whether or not he could dance or
dance to country music.
It morphed into a whole discussion of can you dance to country music. Well, obviously, the serious question last night, the trade had just happened for Matt Harvey.
You know, it's not surprising. It felt like a little bit like that was on its way. You know, we have so much talent in the bullpen and a lot of guys that could come up and do an effective job. And, you know, Matt's a starting pitcher, like he said, and it just wasn't working out. The Mets had to do what they had to do, and I felt like Harvey, you know, refusing his assignment is part of something that he would have to do.
Yeah, refused to go to the minors. You can listen to Jerry Blevins every Tuesday with Pete McCarthy at 6:10 during Mets on Deck. Did you see this note? I think it was in the Post. Edward Burns, actor and filmmaker.
I did see this, yeah.
Yeah, and he's working with Tom Seaver. And they're going to do a documentary on Seaver and the 1969 Miracle Mets. That should be good.
You're a big friend of Tom Seaver's, right?
Well, actually, Tom and I worked together for a while at NBC. I like Tom a lot. He lives in Napa now. He's you know, makes wine.
Yes,
this
he
should
does.
Be interesting. It talks about the 69 Mets. As I wrote in my book, Greatest Moments in Sports. By the way, just for the record, we announced last week that Michael and I were going to trade books. I was going to give him Greatest Moments in Sports, and he was going to give me Razzle Dazzle. Close your eyes. What do you see? Still waiting for Razzle Dazzle.
You've had Greatest Moments in Sports since Monday. For a week. All right. Okay. Right. I thought last night I got to bring Len the book, and then this morning I was rushing out the door.
There's no such book. I think the book's a myth. anyway, as I wrote in my book, two things happened in 1969. Man landed on the moon, and the Mets won the World Series. And to this day, only one of them is referred to as a miracle. That'd be the Mets.
I'd love to see this documentary about Seaver and the 69 Mets.
I would. Edward Burns, he's known for the Brothers McMullen, but a big Mets fan. He's a lifelong Mets fan. He wants to put the whole story together. Burns, also a Queens native, as am I. He says, Tom has always been one of his idols. He says, it's an honor and a thrill to bring his story to the screen. The Mets will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the 69 championship next year.
So, there is something to celebrate with the Mets.
There you go. Well, I'm looking forward to that. So, and you know what? Hopefully we can get Edward Burns on the show one of these days, because I'd love to talk to him about it. All right, coming up, you've heard of Tinkers to Evers to Chance?
Yes.
One of the most famous double play combinations of all time. That poem actually got them in the Hall of Fame for the Cubs. It's only the poem that did it. See, you writers have a lot of sway. Well, how about this trio? What a political football from Schneiderman to Cuomo to Vance. Lots of finger pointing. Oh, you have a chance to win $1,000. That comes up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. But right now, Bernie Viter has traffic.
Good morning, everybody, at 6:55. So I went over the New Yorker magazine piece that exposed Eric Schneiderman for the abuser that he is last night. And the details in that piece are really stunning. You know, you put aside just the fact that he strangled some of these women, that he hit some of these women. Here's a detail that jumped out at me. According to Michelle Manning Barish, one of the women who went on the record, she once responded to Schneiderman, he yanked her across the street, and she said, "Jaywalking is against the law." And he said, "I am the law. I am the law."
All right. Well, listen.
That is the height of his arrogance, that this man was, "I am the law." What he if thought he single-handedly could try to bring down Donald Trump.
No, but what if he said it? I'm not defending him, but what?
No, do you think?
That's in print.
No, do you think? No. The way she explained it, it was not as a joke.
What if he said, "Hey, I'm the law"?
That's not how he said it. That is not how. Len, did you read the story? That is, she, She's been beaten by this guy. She wasn't going to say, oh, yeah, he dragged me across the street and said, hey, jaywalking's against the law. He didn't say, I am the law. He said, I am the law. Right. That was the tone of the voice.
I'm more concerned with him roughing her up and slapping her around. I know. Rather than the words that I'm the law.
This guy is the biggest creep out there.
You know, I can't believe the stunning fall. I still can't. Ben? How dizzying it was that within 3 hours, a magazine article comes out. He puts out a denial, half-hearted, and 2.5 hours later, resigned.
Well,
it's just stunning to me.
I knew he would be gone instantly. As soon as you read through that article when it first came out, you just knew the corroboration, the detail, the reporting just destroyed him. There was no way he could survive that article. Not only did they have these two women on the record, they also interviewed people those women spoke to right after they'd been hit by him. And all of those friends of these women corroborated what the women told them at the time.
But have we figured out how this happened? In other words, how did Ronan Farrow and the woman he wrote the article with, Jane Mayer, did we figure out how all of a sudden it came to them? Did someone, how did that
happen? Jane Mayer said there was a reporter at The New Yorker who had a friend who was dating Schneider.
Oh.
And the friend told this reporter that she was leaving him because he was abusive.
Uh-huh.
And they began to think, I wonder if there's a pattern here, if he's done this before.
Uh-huh.
So that's what set things in motion.
Gotcha.
And then they began reporting, and they discovered it.
Now, Cuomo and de Blasio wasted no time jumping on board.
We are revealing a chronic, long-term injustice, some would say sickness, certainly mistreatment and abuse of women. Pervasive and chronic.
Okay, now wait a second. If this was pervasive and
how come he
chronic,
didn't know?
These guys knew nothing? No, there were no hints? Nothing at all? Really?
I mean, I suppose you can keep domestic abuse a secret, but I wonder about the drinking. Apparently he was a real boozer, and they must have known that about him. I mean, these guys hang out after hours. They certainly pick up all the gossip on each other.
Oh, there's a lot of
gossip. Must have heard. They must
so
have
much
heard.
Gossip that goes on.
De Blasio was a little reluctant.
Look, we know Len's drinking issues, right?
So I mean, why are you wait a second. I told you I like to have a glass of wine with dinner, and I put ice in my red
ice
wine.
Ice in your red
That's
wine.
That's my drinking issue, okay?
Ice in your red wine.
I was horrified. Page after page, it got worse and worse and worse, and it was horrifying. And it was disgusting, and it was unacceptable in every way.
So what do you make of this whole dust-up with the special prosecutor, but not Vance? Vance is upset, writes an open letter that why isn't he involved, and supposedly a conflict of interest. My goodness, what a political nightmare this is.
First of all, Vance should not be in that job. He did not pursue investigations into Harvey Weinstein until that became public. And now Schneiderman was going to look at why Vance did not pursue an investigation into Weinstein. So that, I think, does compromise Vance. He cannot look into Schneiderman because he has a vendetta against Schneiderman.
Well,
so I think that's fair on Cuomo's part to appoint someone else.
Forget those investigations. Now, I guess they're important. The police want to talk to the women. NYPD wants to talk to these women. This guy, what did the Daily News say? Throw the bum in jail is their front page?
It is indeed, throw the bum in jail. And they've been camped outside of his Upper West Side apartment, but he has not appeared anywhere.
You see all those microphones?
I know.
They put all the microphones there, really? You think he's going to stop and talk? Are you kidding me? They have all the microphones lined up on a rack for Schneiderman to talk.
How's he getting toilet paper?
He ain't talking.
I mean,
I'm sure he has people.
The little staff going out.
Oh,
what? Interesting. The Wall Street Journal points out that he was a rather overzealous prosecutor in going after political people that he disagreed with.
It's very Spitzer-esque, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, what is it about these Democrats, Len?
They're
zealous crusaders for their moral, righteous point of view.
I think I heard someone on CNN go down the list of Republicans. It was the governor out in Missouri, and on it goes.
Not in New York.
It seems to be Democrats in New York.
Republicans seem to be Democrats.
Those damn liberal Democrats that screw everything up. Next thing you'll be paying for plastic bags, Unbelievable what those Democrats try to foist on us.
Well, we will see if Mr. Schneiderman winds up in jail. All right, Trump rips up the Iranian agreement, but what's he going to do next? We're going to talk to an expert on the Middle East when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000, a big $1,000, is coming up after the 7 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword money to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's money to 200-200.
710 WOR. From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Trump ripped up the agreement with Iran. I called it an agreement because it was not a treaty, since President Obama never submitted it to the Senate for approval because he knew the Senate would not approve it. So technically, Len, it is not an agreement between the American people and Iran. It's an agreement between President Obama and Iran.
Technically, it's seven countries and the European Union.
Those seven countries are not Americans.
No, but all those other countries are involved in this. And technically, and if you want to get technical, I still think that some kind of agreement is better than no agreement. But so we'll find out where we go. Obviously, this is just the first salvo. You hope there's a plan. In other words, I hope the plan on the president's part is not to just do away with anything that was Obama. I mean, there was no plan with Obamacare. There was no plan with DACA. So what's the plan with this? Hopefully there's a plan. Yeah, I hope there's a plan.
Well, we're going to check in with Gregory Gauz from Texas A&M University. He's an expert on the Middle East. He will maybe perhaps outline the plan for us, Len. I think, though, probably the decision was wise. That agreement was not a good agreement. Iran was allowed to go after nuclear weapons in 8 years. And more importantly, by lifting those sanctions, it gave Iran a lot of money, which they are now pouring into Syria and making mischief and putting pressure on Israel. So Iran seems to be going for some kind of confrontation with Israel.
Well, the one doing a happy dance tonight is Netanyahu. I mean, he's obviously thrilled. His little speech that he gave the other day, even though it was old evidence, Trump referred to it yesterday as kind of new evidence. And obviously it did the job. And Trump got rid of the deal.
Also in the big three, well, some Russian money seems to have found its way into Richard Cohen's bank account. And maybe some of those rubles wound up in Stormy Daniels' bank account.
Nothing to see here. $500,000 from Russians. It does nothing to see.
It comes from Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer. So consider the source, Len. And he has not released those agreements. But reports are now the New York Times has looked at some documentation and can confirm what Avenatti has been saying, that Russian oligarch money made its way to Stormy Daniels.
And for what reasons? Richard Cohen. You got a reason, guys? Hello? Joe?
Why does Avenatti have this evidence?
Yes, who leaked it to him, Len?
Yeah, who leaked
some
it to
bank
him?
Bank accounts. Obviously, he's got some friends.
Well, how did he get the bank accounts of Richard Cohen? Who else is looking at those bank
accounts?
First of
all, his name's Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen,
and
sorry.
Second of all, I don't care how he got it, guys. Just tell me. Let's say it's true. Okay, what was the money for? Go.
Who knows?
I don't know either.
That's a poker game.
Avenatti's a fixer. He fixes problems. Right, maybe the Russian oligarch had a problem and he fixed it for him. Yep.
That could be it. Right. That could be. And also running out.
And by the way, do you think that by giving him $500,000 you can influence President Trump?
I just want to know what this is for, Joe. I that's all I want to know. I don't know if Trump was involved in this. Clearly, the fact that Cohen was Trump's lawyer, there must be some connection there, but I don't know what it's for.
I don't think it's going to sway Trump one way or the other.
Right.
But we'll see, Len. We'll see.
Well, you know, Trump
can just enjoy this being dragged out over the next week.
Trump claims he's the toughest of anyone on Russia. He was a little soft on Russia when it comes to Crimea and other things. And he just wondered if that $500,000 had anything to do with it.
Oh, you really think $500,000 made Trump decide that, I'm not going to go hard on Vladimir Putin?
By the way, that might have been just the down payment for something.
Come on, Len. So wait a minute. Michael Cohen is getting $500,000, and that's going to influence a presidential
decision. Well, tell me what the money was for, then, Joe.
I don't know.
Okay,
what
well,
your buddy Mueller will find out.
I don't know.
He'll let us know when the investigation finally wraps up after the midterm elections, no doubt.
And wrap up after the next presidential election.
And rounding out the big three, more details on Eric Schneiderman's abusive behavior, and Cy Vance and Governor Cuomo are fighting about who should investigate. But now let's go to Gregory Gauz, Texas A&M University. He is at the Bush School of Government. He's an expert on the Middle East. He will explain what is going on with Iran to us. Good morning, Professor Gauz.
Help us, Professor. Help us, please.
We are not foreign policy experts. We need your expertise. Good morning, Mr. Gauz.
Good morning.
Excuse me. So did President Trump do the right thing by pulling out of this agreement with Iran?
I think no. I'm not sure what this gets us. It certainly raises the possibility that Iran will restart its nuclear program in an immediate way and get closer to a bomb, which could lead to a military confrontation either with Israel or directly with the United States. I mean, one thing we know is that the deal, which was narrowly drawn, is working in its own terms. That is to say that the Iranians had shut down centrifuges, had moved enriched uranium out of the country, and the nuclear experts, of which I'm not one, but the nuclear experts seem unanimous in that this has moved Iran back from the point where it could weaponize. Now, the other issues that you mentioned, Iranian behavior in the region, the most important, they weren't part of the deal. And I think the president's argument is they should have been part of the deal, and we should have seen whether we could have gotten some limitation on Iranian mischief in Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and Yemen and elsewhere. But I think that if we had put those things on the table, we probably wouldn't have gotten the deal because of the nature of Iranian domestic politics.
Professor, what I'm trying to sort out, and hopefully you can help me, is the fact that there were several countries, including the EU, that signed off on this deal. So what does it mean to this deal that the U.S. pulls out, but the deal is still in effect with these other countries?
Well, we don't do that much business with Iran. There are a couple of big-ticket items. Boeing signed a huge deal to deliver aircraft to Iran, and that's gone. That's done. Yeah. That was an $18 billion deal. But the Iranians do a lot more business with Europe, and the Europeans have been more enthusiastic about getting into the Iran deal. And what the European leaders in Britain and France and Germany said yesterday is that if Iran, in essence, they said if Iran sticks to the limitations on the deal, they will continue to do business with Iran. Whether that happens or not is, I think, dependent on how the U.S. wants to enforce its new sanctions. So,
that's what I mean, because Trump said yesterday that we're going to do sanctions not only against Iran, but against the countries that do business with Iran, and those are our allies.
Exactly, and that's always been the issue here, because, as I said, we don't do that much business with Iran. We've had sanctions on Iran since 1979. There's just not that much at stake economically. But for the Europeans, there is. And the question for European companies is, will you continue to do business with Iran if that limits your ability to do business in the United States? And that's a pretty powerful sanction on a big company in Europe.
Talking to Gregory Gause from Texas A&M University. Let me ask you on this issue of Iran moving into Syria, putting pressure on Israel. How do we stop Iran from being so aggressive on that front? What's the tactic we should take there?
Well, unfortunately, the best way to stop Iran from meddling in these countries is not have them be in civil wars. And that's something that dates back to the Arab Spring of 2011, where popular uprisings against the number of regimes in the region led, in some cases, like Yemen, like Syria, like Libya, to civil wars. And one thing about civil wars is that the local players invite in outsiders because they desperately need help. You know, they're fighting for their existence, both the governments and the rebels, all the factions involved. And Syria became broken as a state. And the Syrian government has had a long-standing relationship with Iran, and they invited the Iranians in like they invited the Russians in. In the same way that the rebels in their various factions invited in the Turks and the Qataris and the Saudis and us to help them. So I think that Iran is best placed to take advantage of these civil wars in Iraq and in Syria and the weakness of the state in Lebanon, where Hezbollah is more powerful than the central government. So I think that it's really hard for us to prevent the spread of Iranian influence in this atmosphere where you see state collapse and state weakness in so much of the Middle East.
Professor, I saw that at the Iranian assembly today, they're burning flags, they're yelling death to America. And my simplistic way, I asked myself, are we better off as a country and is the safer region? Is it safer and better off today than it was yesterday? And I'm struggling to see why this is better that we're out of this deal.
Right. And you know, the flag burning and the death to America stuff. God, we've seen that since 1979. It's tiresome. And it's tiresome for a lot of Iranians. But what it does indicate is that there are ideologically committed people at the top in that regime who see anti-Americanism as a core ideological principle of the revolution. And those people you're never going to convince. And that's why the idea that the nuclear deal would moderate larger Iranian behavior was always a pretty risky bet. Are we safer? I would say no. I think that the prospect of some kind of military confrontation between the United States and Iran has increased as a result of this deal. The president, I mean, people in the tri-state area know this president. They've seen him act for decades, and he's a risk taker. In the past, when his risky bets haven't played out, it just meant, you know, the bankruptcy of a casino or a real estate deal. But here, if this risky bet doesn't break out, it does increase the chances of military conflict.
Do you think there could be a conflict between Israel and Iran coming our way?
I think that it's unlikely that what you're going to get is some kind of, you know, missile exchange or Air Force attacks. I think that if there's a conflict between Israel and Iran, it'll be in Syria. And the Israelis have escalated their involvement in the Syrian civil war recently, targeting Iran and its allies in that war.
All right. Gregory Gause, from a Middle East expert from Texas A&M University. Thanks a lot for your expertise. We really appreciate
it. Thanks, Professor.
Because Len and I can barely find the UN here in New York.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much, Professor. Good guy.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously, a very sober thinker. And I don't know what the bottom line is, but he seemed to indicate that since the deal was so narrow and focused, we're maybe a little bit better off with the deal than without it. But I understand both sides.
All I know, it's a mess over there.
It is. Absolutely. Always has been.
All right. Have we found the Russian collusion? I don't know about that, but quite a few rubles have found their way into Michael Cohen's bank account.
Wow.
That's coming up next.
Aha!
Plus, your chance at $1,000 pays for the cable bill all year long is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Now let's go to Bernie Viter with traffic.
Friedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
7:24 in the morning. I've got a commercial, and Riedel's already rolling his eyes. I'm so sick of this Michael Cohen. This is the juiciest thing we have.
No,
Russians gave the guy $500,000. Why did the Ruskies give Donald Trump's lawyer $500,000? Go.
To pay off Stormy Daniels.
Well, I mean, now we don't know if it's true. Okay. This is
Comes
Michael
from
Avenatti,
Stormy Daniels' lawyer. Okay. Right. So consider the source, Lynn.
I get it. Well, we're gonna consider the source in a minute, or the sauce. 5 minutes from now, your first chance at Mets tickets. You'll get to see. Oh wow, we got Mets Yankees tickets for you. Mets Yankees tickets on June the 8th at Citi Field.
Oh, that's
fun. Coming up at 7:30. And also, I'm excited because coming up right after the news at 9 o'clock. Michael Bolton. He's not going to sing for us, but fascinating. He's doing a documentary on the city of Detroit. Now he talks with a lot of music makers from Detroit.
Yeah, well, Detroit had the great, you know, hello, Barry Gordy.
Yeah, and
the whole gang there.
Motown, somebody's talking about, but there have been many Kid Rock. There were many modern day artists from Detroit as well. And I think he has a documentary about Detroit's comeback.
Well, Detroit was the symbol of the Rust Belt decay and whatnot, but now it's a place where a lot of artists and musicians are moving to because they can afford to live there, and that has led to a resurgence in one of America's great cities.
And we will talk to Michael Bolton in the first few minutes of 9
o'clock. When a man loves Detroit.
That's good stuff. Hey, Michael Avenatti on CNN. Gee, that's a shock. How'd they get him? That's a coup.
They still haven't told anyone truly what the arrangement was with Michael Cohen, what it was for, why did they hire Michael Cohen to undertake this effort. And what they haven't said is that there was absolutely no contacts whatsoever or connection between their entity and this oligarch or Russia.
I think he and Anderson Cooper are dating. They're practically holding hands when they're on the show together.
Why, are you saying Avenatti's gay too?
I know, I'm not saying that, but you know, he and Anderson, they seem to have a standing date almost every night.
Well, he's got a building pass to CNN. He doesn't even have to come in as a visitor anymore.
Oh, go ahead.
They wave him right in.
Right, come on in. Up to the sixth floor. Hey, but supposedly $500,000 from the Ruskies go to Michael Cohen.
$500,000.
Unannounced amount of money from AT&T, but AT&T has confirmed.
Yes.
They gave a bunch of money to Avenatti. Now, AT&T, of course, is embroiled.
No, they didn't give it to Avenatti. They gave it to
They gave it to Michael Cohen, of course. Avenatti is the one who spilled the beans on it. Gave it to Michael Cohen. And AT&T, of course, is trying to merge with Time Warner. And there's a, you know, the Trump administration is battling that. And also, how about the drug company Novartis? $400,000. So this is just, what's all this money going to Michael Cohen about?
Well, because he understands President Trump. He's worked for President Trump a long time. There's nothing unusual in politics about corporations paying people, they call them lobbyists in some case, paying people who are familiar with the new administration so they can get their footing around some policies that might be coming down. This is just politics. It may be a little shabby, but that's how politics is done, Len. You know, take all the money out of politics. I know you lefties want to do that,
what do you
too.
Think? What's wrong with it?
Well,
what's wrong?
I just thought it was going to be a drain the swamp. I don't know. What do I know? I just thought
it's a new swamp.
Okay, fine.
Drain the old swamp, but now we have a new swamp.
We're alleging that there's about $4.4 million in suspicious transactions that flowed through this Essential Consultants LLC bank account at First Republic Bank that Michael Cohen first established in October of 2016, and that these $4.4 million worth of transactions occurred from October of 16 up through approximately January of this year.
$4 million, that'll get your attention. And he only gave Stormy $130,000 of it. What's the rest of it for?
But how come there was no attention paid to all of the millions of dollars Russia gave to Hillary Clinton?
The Clinton Foundation.
Come on, Len.
Lock her up.
The Russians are spreading the wealth around, Len. That's all they're doing.
Equal opportunity.
You can't have it one-sided.
Yeah, but we know what the Clinton Foundation did with the money. What did...
they used it to fly themselves around on private planes. That's what they did with the money.
All right. If you want to believe that, fine. Okay.
That's what they did with the money, Len.
Okay, so what did Michael Cohen do with the money?
Paid off Stormy Daniels.
That was only well, was this to get the president's attention?
Did they attempt to buy influence with the president of the United States and access to the president of the United States? Because if they did that, Don, that's improper on a number of different levels, including the fact that Michael Cohen was never registered as a lobbyist.
All right.
I'm going to make a prediction, all right? I'm going to make a prediction here this morning.
Yes.
Michael Avenatti will be on Anderson Cooper tonight.
And I've got a prediction. I'm giving away Mets tickets, not just any Mets tickets. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets and Yankees, the Subway Series on June 8th at Citi Field, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. Be calling number 14, 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. Good luck, everyone. Time for the latest news headlines at 7:30. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Len. Governor Cuomo praising the four women who have come forward to accuse former Attorney General Eric Schneiderman of abusing them.
We're dealing with the attorney general, the top law enforcement. According to the article, they were threatened not to say anything, and they came forward anyway.
Cuomo is also appointing a special prosecutor to investigate upsetting the Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, who's already announced he wants to investigate. Cuomo says that would be a conflict of interest because Schneiderman was investigating the handling of the Harvey Weinstein case by the Manhattan DA. Nominee to be CIA director goes before the Senate today for a confirmation hearing. Gina Haspel is going to face questions about her time supervising a CIA black site in Thailand 15 years ago. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden says he's got concerns.
Those are classified matters. I can't get into them, even though I believe the American people deserve to know a fair amount of what I was just told.
By the way, Joe, that's all nonsense. She should get the nomination. If she had enhanced interrogation techniques after 9/11,
this country was under threat at that time.
Absolutely. And to bring that up as a reason why she shouldn't be CIA director now, nonsense. Everyone says this woman is incredibly qualified. Get her the job. Stop with the dog and pony show.
Congratulations for your common sense, Len.
How do you feel about Pruitt?
Pruitt's got to go. Pruitt's got to go. There's no question he's got to go.
Mayor de Blasio is scheduled to sign nearly a dozen bills today dealing with sexual harassment designed to strengthen protection in New York. One bill requires anti-sexual harassment training for workers at both private companies and city agencies. Our news today brought to you by Paul Miller BMW in Wayne, New Jersey. You can shop online at paulmillerbmw.com. And the bad blood between Taylor Swift and Katy Perry? Maybe over.
Oh, thank God.
This is big. This is a
feud. This has been keeping me up at night.
Who cares about America and Iran? It's Katy Perry and Taylor Swift.
Now you're talking. Let's get that professor back to analyze Taylor Swift and Katy Perry.
This has been going on for years. Swift accused Perry of stealing her background dancers.
Whoa.
They even wrote songs critical of each other.
Oh, my God.
Including that one there. But last night, Taylor Swift posted a picture on Instagram showing Katy Perry had sent her a literal olive branch.
Note
says, "Hey, old friend."
Oh boy, this is great! There I'm so go. Happy.
Put this in the big three.
You know what? who needs Iran? The 500,000 from Russia. This is the big news.
We're Entertainment Tonight.
Thanks, Joey B.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Do you even know any of those songs?
I do. I like both of them.
Yeah, I know songs from both of them too. Yeah. They're both terrific.
Yeah, both good singers.
Yeah. Well, we're going to open the phones coming up next. So, okay, all you people who are calling for Yankees, Mets tickets, we have a winner, right, Natalie?
We do. You can stop calling now, but we have the turning point at 8:30, so more tickets coming.
Yeah, more tickets at 8:30. Anyway, we'll give you the winner of the Mets-Yankee tickets. Clear the lines, because we want to get your phone calls. Lots to talk about. What's on your mind? You want to talk about the Iran deal? Maybe you know why the Russians gave Michael Cohen $500,000. What do you think that money's for? I want to hear from you. Or maybe you want to talk about Schneiderman.
Yeah, how about all those Democrats? Schneiderman, Wiener, Spitzer? Is there something about these self-righteous, zealous Democrats that make them all creeps?
Democrats. So give us a call. Give us a call. Unlimited stuff to talk about. Open phones coming up next. Oh, if you want to win $1,000, you have a chance to do that too. Your next chance, 8:05 right here on 710 WOR. Right now, Bernie Viter has traffic.
Happy Wednesday. Lovely day out there. Have a good day at work, everybody. But before you get to work, it is your chance to speak. We are throwing the phones open. 1-800. What is it?
1-800-321-0710. How long have you been here? 10 weeks?
1-800-321-0710.
That's unbelievable.
1-800-321-0710 is the number.
What's our website?
710WOR.com/LennonMichael.
Excellent.
Thank you.
This is good. I'm going to give you a quiz every morning.
What is our number? 1-800-321-0710. The phones are open for you. We want to know your thoughts on Trump and Iran. Did he do the right thing by tearing up the agreement, not a treaty, because the Senate never ratified it. It's just an agreement. Eric Schneiderman, what a nasty, ugly creep this guy is. Should he go to jail? Should he go to jail? The Daily News says throw the bum in jail. Do you think he should go to jail? And Len likes this issue about some of that Russian rubles
finding
its way into Michael Cohen's bank account.
What's the $500,000? Maybe you guys know. Why did some Russian oligarch give Michael Cohen? And why did it go into the same account, the $500,000, as the Stormy Daniels payoff account? Just curious. I don't know. Maybe you guys know. Give us a call.
1-800-321-0710.
Very good.
Hey, we have a winner.
We do have a winner. Congratulations, Don Tucker, Comac, New York. Hey, great seats. Yankees and Mets at Citi Field on June 8th. And we'll have more tickets coming your way with the Turning Point contest. And that's coming up at 8:30.
Hey, let's go to Danny on line two from Massapequa. Good morning, Danny.
So many issues to discuss, boys.
So
let
much.
Just, let, me just, let me just. I got
so
four things.
Time.
I got four things, if I may. One, how did the lawyer for Stormy Daniels get the banking records?
Good question.
Good question. Could somebody, because that may be more of a crime than actually what you're talking
about.
Well,
somebody tweeted and said the FBI leaks it. They leak everywhere. So
the thing that's on my mind this morning, because now 4 years ago, Donald Trump issued a tweet that said, Schneiderman's next. Is he a crook? He's worse than all of them. So I want to swear in Andrew and Kristen Gillibrand, because there's a good possibility that this people knew of this guy's record and his allegations.
Well, we wondered about that. We did wonder if anybody knew. Somebody must have known something.
Right. And as far as the lobbying thing goes, the company gave $500,000. The new administration's coming in. People are lobbying for influence. John Podesta's brother got $500,000 lobbying for Ukrainian uranium company or something. This is what these people do. You want to AT&T gave the man money. He's got the president's ear. We're going to try to get a little influence. I don't like it, but it's completely legal. And I'm reading a letter from the company. The letter did not come from an individual. It came from a company in Russia that does business. And everybody was so shocked, I'm assuming, that the president won, that they're all scrambling to find out who's right. going to be in his zone of influence.
Right, exactly, Danny. Good business call, as Danny. Usual.
Good call. How about John? In Brooklyn. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
So, Len, you asked two very specific questions. I'm going to give you two very specific answers. You said, why did he make payments out of the account that received the payment in from the Stormy Daniels? All lawyers, all law firms open up a law firm lawyer bank account that they receive payments in and make disbursements from. It's standard in the legal industry. That's not controversial at all. Your other question was, why did they receive $500,000 from Russian oligarchs? The answer is legal services rendered. Period, end of story. There are thousands of lawyers in New York that offer legal services to Russian citizens, former Russian citizens, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing illegal about that.
All right. Good to know, John. I'm calling Salino and Barnes.
Yeah.
I want to see what they have to say.
You stop discriminating against those Russians, Len.
But with all due respect to John, I think Michael Cohen has several bank accounts. Just a guess.
Well, we only know of one so far.
And it has
hold your fire there, Len.
Has to do with a certain porn actress.
Let's go to Steven on line one in Brooklyn. Good morning, Steven.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment that he's a lawyer. He's allowed to take money from whoever he wants.
Yep.
He's in business. It's not like he worked at the State Department and sold the uranium or anything like that. And then secondly, the Iran deal was absolutely a bad deal because it didn't reduce or change anything.
Well, supposedly those investigating supposedly said that they were adhering to the rules. They were not enriching uranium. Centrifuges were not.
The people in the countries in the Middle East are behind us. Yeah. What do people in England and Germany know? The Middle East is right there. They see what's going on right before their eyes. I trust them.
And as you know, Stephen, those investigators have been duped before.
Thanks, Stephen. Yep. Appreciate it, pal.
Line two, David from Roseland. Good morning, David.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. I love your show.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
I'm fully behind with what the president is doing with Iran. You know what? It irks me to no end that we gave them $150 billion, that Obama handed this money over. You know what we could have done with the poor here? The money we could have gave to the poor here instead of giving it to them?
If I'm not mistaken, we owed them that money, but I don't think it was our money. It might have been their money that they were getting back.
We didn't take money out
of our treasury and give it to them. That's not how it worked.
School, did you have a bully? And did you pay the bully? No.
Yeah.
You don't pay a bully.
That's right.
Riedel
beat him up.
Riedel paid the bully.
You never pay a bully. The bully's going to keep coming back.
That's true.
You got it, David. All right. That's the reason we didn't give them their money is because they were saying death to America and burning the flag, Len.
Well, I understand, but look it up. There were some technicalities. We didn't take money out of our treasury and pay a bribe. We were giving it was part of an earlier deal, and they were getting money, which apparently was theirs. But listen.
Death to America, burning the American flag.
Line up on the side you like and fire away. That's the way it works in this country. I get it.
All right. When we get back, Roseanne, the show is still popular, but now a Muslim family has moved in next door, and they're teaching Roseanne a little bit about tolerance and acceptance. Plus your chance at $1,000. Roseanne doesn't need $1,000, but I certainly could use $1,000. That's coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR.
You know, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. You could stay connected. You can listen anywhere. Just get the free iHeartRadio app, your favorite radio stations, plus unlimited streaming music. Forget the music. Listen to us. It's available now. Did I say it's for free? In the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Vider.
OR.
7:54 in the morning in our entertainment segment. This is a great premise. Roseanne last night.
Yeah.
Turns out she has new Muslim neighbors. Can you imagine that's like Archie Bunker finding out his next door neighbors are black, right?
Well, I think that might have been an episode.
They were the Jeffersons.
Okay. Well,
don't you remember that? His next door neighbors were the Jeffersons.
Well,
they were so popular, they were on the spinoff show.
The Jeffersons were the spinoff.
So maybe these Muslim people are going to get their own spinoff from the
Maybe.
Roseanne. Also in the entertainment segment, think about this one. Who's turning 69 years old today? So keep that under your cap. But first, sad. So she's spying. You know, these people are. It turns out she wants to steal their Wi-Fi, but I guess she asked them about it first. And then it turns out she's spying on the neighbors.
You can't just stand on the front porch staring at your Muslim neighbors.
That's her sister, Lori Metcalf.
She's so obvious you're spying on them.
No, it isn't. I've got a rake.
Holding a rake and staring is not a cover. Raking is a cover.
All right. Now listen to the reason that Roseanne thinks something's up.
Did you see the crazy amount of fertilizer they got stacked up near their garage? That's how they make bombs. What if this is a sleeper cell full of terrorists getting ready to blow up our neighborhood?
So there you go. She has Muslim neighbors, and of course,
there
are terrorists who are going to blow up the neighborhood.
I'm telling you, this is what people from Iraq and Talibanistan.
I love that word.
Talibanistan.
Iraq and Talibanistan.
Do. They hide out in neighborhoods like Lanford. Don't you watch the news? You don't mean the news, you mean Fox News. And
there was some good lines.
There is no Taliban is, oh, forget it.
That's pretty funny.
That was good.
That's cute.
That show's good.
That was cute stuff.
It was.
So what do you say? They have a kumbaya moment at the
they
end?
They do.
Right. Yes. They went back to they were at the neighbors actually trying to see if they can get into their Wi-Fi network because their daughter needed to Skype her mother, who is actually in the military in Afghanistan.
Okay. So this is a nice, fuzzy feel at the end here.
Roseanne, why don't you just bring your granddaughter over here to Skype? The signal will be much stronger. Over here? Well, no, we couldn't. We've already imposed on you enough.
You don't want us to see the Skype, so we'll know where in Afghanistan her mother is. Right. Because you think we'll find out her coordinates and give them to our ISIS friends on Facebook. You see? They hate us.
We don't hate you. We're scared of you.
Yeah, we're scared of you too.
Wow.
So good show. It's real, but I think the funniest part was Roseanne asked, why do you have so much fertilizer at your house? And the wife like turns to the husband just like any wife would with this look and said, if he would stop clicking on the Amazon button, maybe we wouldn't have had 50 bags delivered, which I thought was pretty funny.
Show is still popular. Roseanne's still going strong. Good lines there. Good writing in the show, I think.
Yeah, the show. All right, so here's my question. 69 years old today. Here's a hint.
I don't need you to worry for me, because I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home.
It's more than a hint. I mean, that's who it is.
Really, what else would you like to do? Spell it out for us?
Let me see if I can figure that out, Len. Was that Johnny Mathis?
No, Victor Mode. No, here's the thing. Okay, that's Billy Joel. Now, I have in front of me his 25 greatest Billboard hits. It's 25 on the Billboard list, okay?
Could you even imagine having 25?
Yeah, 25. Wow. And the song, my favorite song that I thought was number one was number 25.
Really? What is that?
Piano Man.
I would have thought that would have been number one.
I love the lyrics.
But it just shows you many amazing songs he had.
Number one,
Moving Out. My Life was number four.
Right.
Number three, Billy Joel's top 25 Billboard hits.
You said I'm not so tough just because I'm in love with an uptown girl.
That's number three?
The 80s, wow. Billy Joel.
That's number three. Why, Joe?
I thought that would be a little higher.
What's number two?
Number two, and to me this was just a popcorn hit, but this was number two.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
It's a great song. It's not a popcorn hit.
I don't know. The lyrics. It's just like a bunch of names.
But when that song,
Mickey Mantle, whatever.
But when that song came out, it was so different than anything else. Yeah.
It was all nice in the beat. Hook and the beat.
You want to guess number one?
Moving
number
out.
One?
Moving
Billy
out.
Joel?
Moving out.
Joe?
I'll go with Michael.
The next phase, new wave, dance craze. Anyway, it's still rock and roll to me. Everybody's talking about the new sound. Funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
My favorite is Captain Jack.
I don't even see Moving like Out, Captain by the way.
That is, such a haunting, beautiful melody.
And New York State of Mind?
Yes.
By the way, Moving Out is number 20. Oh. So you're about as good as I am. All right. Happy birthday, 69. Billy Joel. Lots of big stories today. The Iran deal. The payoffs to Michael Cohen. The
payoffs.
Domestic and foreign. Well, they were something.
He's already calling it payoffs.
Plenty of fallout over Schneiderman all after the news at 8 o'clock.